Inconclusive Breakdown, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Neckbreaker, and The Shining Wizards. These are the shows of the Shining Wizards Network, available on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment here.
Coming to you from the Frustrated Incorporated Studios in Indianapolis, Indiana, this is the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, your source for anti-PC pro wrestling and entertainment news and commentary. Hello everyone, welcome to this week's show. My name is Justin, your host, joined as always by Skeets, and that's it. I'm alone on Valentine's Day. But don't feel bad. The state went and called Vince out because apparently it's going to snow and the state is paranoid. Mr. Short could not be here due to the fact that our manager of the show's birthday is today. So happy birthday, Mrs. Short. So that's it. It's going to be a shorter show than normal, obviously. So let's just get into it. Television news this week. Fox released the first images of B.D. Wong as Hugo Strange, Mr. Freeze, and Azrael for the Return of Gotham this season. All of them are very close to how they look in the comic books and look very good so far. So we'll see how they do once they're actually in action. The producers of Arrow were told that they cannot bring back Deathstroke to the show for the foreseeable future due to that character being in another DC project. The rumor right now is that Scott Eastwood, who is seen in the Batman Superman trailer, could be playing Deathstroke, just as unannounced so far. So you're not going to see him back on Arrow anytime soon. AMC's The Preacher adaptation has added Jackie Earle Haley, who most people know played Rorschach on Watchmen. He will be playing the character Odin Quincannon. For those of you who haven't read Preacher, he's the most powerful man in Anvil County. He's the chief employer in town. He runs the meat and power plant. In the comics, he's like the head of the, he's one of the heads of the KKK, and he gets into a lot of fights with Preacher. Eventually he is caught having sex with a mannequin made out of meat products, so you can kind of see, I don't know if that will make it into series, but just how weird Preacher was to begin with. Hannibal, this is great news for me and probably Vince. Hannibal and Pushing Daisies creator Brian Fuller will now be the new showrunner and co-creator for the Star Trek's TV online series thing they're doing, the new reboot. It's a homecoming for Fuller, who actually started his career. He was a writer for Deep Space Nine and Voyager. So Hannibal was fantastic. I was a big fan of it. He knows the stuff. He worked on Star Trek. So really hopes up for the new Star Trek series. CW's Riverdale, this is based off the Archie Comics thing, has cast two of its four main characters. Lily Reinhart from Surviving Jack is set to play Betty, and former Disney actor Cole Sprouse, Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, he will be playing Jughead. So I don't know about that, but we'll see. I'll give it a shot. A series based on one of my favorite movies of all time, Shooter. Yes, it's a Wahlberg movie. But the TV series will star Ryan Phillippe and has already been picked up to series. They went ahead and skipped pilot and went straight to series. And it will co-star Omar Epps. So I'll give it a couple of episodes to see how it does. Ash vs. the Evil Dead news. They have added Ted Raimi, who probably most people know as Jockster from Xena or Hercules or one of those shows. He's Sam Raimi's brother and co-writer. He is all that. And they've also added the Fall Guy, Lee Majors, will be joining Ash vs. the Evil Dead. So can't wait for season two to start. AMC has ordered a late night talk show that will take a look at pop culture through a fanboy lens. This will be hosted by Greg Grunberg and Kevin Smith. Looks like the working title will be Geeking Out. It will be a 30-minute show, clips, interviews, out-of-studio stuff. It looks like they're going to debut it in late July. That will coincide with San Diego Comic-Con. And it looks like they're going to get 8 more episodes. It'll be the summer series. So AMC is still in the Kevin Smith business. Damon Wayans, not the son, the older one, the one that was in Living Color, is going to play the Danny Glover role in Fox's Lethal Weapon series. So he will be your Murtaugh. Okay. Star Wars, they announced that Star Wars Lego Wars The Freemaker Adventures will be a new animated TV series coming to Disney XD in the summer. It is set between Empire and Jedi. It will introduce all new heroes and villains, along with many familiar Star Wars characters. So you're getting a Lego TV show. Next story here. Ashley Judd has joined the Twin Peaks cast. I don't know how Vince will think about that. The last thing for TV news this week. The LIGO. I don't know how many people actually saw this, and this is part of the story. The LIGO, the Gravitational Wave Observatory, announced that yes, gravitational waves are real. This proves one of the last things that Einstein had predicted. This is like a world-changing event that they announced on... Well, you wouldn't have seen it on the news if you watch ABC, NBC, or CBS nightly news on your broadcast TV. This verified a theory that was over 100, almost 100 years old that Einstein predicted, and the total combined time that the three major broadcast networks spent covering this on their nightly news was 1 minute and 41 seconds. Because something that will help us understand how the universe works and was created and everything, of course it pales in comparisons to, you know, baby pandas at the zoo or Trump or Kardashians, but, you know, so don't believe the news. Movie news this week. Obviously the big news is Deadpool. It has shattered records, and looks like it's going to open with a $150 million opening weekend. This is the biggest opening weekend ever for an R-rated movie, domestic. No, I haven't seen it yet. We'll work on that for next week. Sad news. Daniel Gershon, he was the co-screenwriter for Big Hero 6, Monsters, Inc., and Monsters University, Cars, Chicken Little, Open Season. He did a bunch of the... Pixar movies, Up, Inside Out. He died at 49 of brain cancer, so that really sucks. Next story, Lionsgate has tapped Josh Stolberg and Peter Goldfinger. These are the guys that wrote Sorority Row. Let me try English this time. Piranha 3D and Piranha 3DD. They're going to write a new Saw movie. I thought the series was dead, but apparently... they just can't leave the franchise alone. It's going to be called Saw Legacy, and it may follow a cult of Jigsaw followers. So, we're getting another Saw movie. Ryan Reynolds said that besides the Deadpool sequel, which already Fox has greenlit, we are getting a sequel, and he did announce that we are getting Cable in that sequel. That an X-Force movie is a priority right now. Stephen Lang from Avatar and a bunch of other things, who I know every time we do fan casting of Cable, I pick him. But he has taken to Twitter to tease that he is getting ready for the role of Cable, and that he is just waiting on the call from Fox. So, get on that immediately, Fox. Warner Brothers' The Flash movie, this is the movie, not the TV series, has been moved up a week and will come out March 16th, 2018. Will Smith has confirmed that Bad Boys 3 is happening and that both he and Martin Lawrence are coming back. I don't know if Michael Bay will be back or not. I would imagine so. Okay, this next story, when I read it, I didn't quite understand it, but I had to read it a few times. We said a long time ago there was a rumor about a horror movie version of The Expendables. And that was floating 6-8 months ago. The rumor had got out. Well, it's real. It will be called Death House, directed by B. Harrison Smith, and it looks like it's going to come out late next year. I would probably guess right around Halloween, if you're smart and know how to, you know, do marketing and all. It was a script that Gunnar Hansen, Leatherface, originally wrote before he passed away. This is his way to get all of the horror icons to come into a movie. According to IMDb, the cast for Death House basically sounds like everybody that goes to a horror convention. Robert Englund, who plays Freddy, Kane Hodder, Jason, Doug Bradley, Pinhead, Bill Moseley from Devil's Rejects, Michael Berryman, Hills Have Eyes, Dee Wallace from Cujo and the Howling, Danny Trejo, who's in every fucking movie, Barbara Crampton from Reanimator, Ken Foree from Dawn of the Dead, Don Shanks, Camille Keaton from I Spit on Your Grave and Lords of Salem, and a ton more I'm sure they're going to put in, but those are just the ones that are announced so far. The synopsis real quick. Death House is the Area 51 of Evil, a subterranean government facility that holds humanity's worst on 9 levels. Hell, Dante's 9th level, holds the 5 evils, the dark stars of Death House. These individuals are so heinous that they never walk among society again. They also may be supernatural. Agents Tora Boone and Jay Novak have their own dark past, arriving at Death House to tour its levels and observe its denizens firsthand, as well as the medical and mental experiments of Doctors Eileen Fletcher and Karen Redmayne. Their depraved experiments date back to the Nazi doctors of World War II. So a little callback to Ilsa She-Wolf of the SS right there. Prison cells are virtual reality holodecks that recreate prisoner environments before they were incarcerated. A special hallucinogenic gas keeps inmates under control. The victims are homeless, bust into Death House to play literal victims while killing habits are studied. The results are sick, but only a hint of what goes on here. Hell literally breaks loose inside the facility when an EMP device detonates, killing all power, communication, and releasing every prisoner. Boone, Novak, and Fletcher are caught in a race against advancing prisoner hordes led by occultist neo-Nazi Sieg. The monsters are freed, and they're going down. So, really looking forward to that. I thought it was a great concept when the rumor first came out months ago, but now it looks like they're moving on it, and couldn't be more excited for that. Something I'm not really excited for is this next story. The Social Network producer Michael DeLuca has joined Universal Studios is rebooting Battlestar Galactica. Apparently this is going to be a feature movie, but it will draw inspiration from the original 1978 series rather than the 2004 amazing reboot that Sci-Fi did. Why would you reboot a reboot? I don't understand, but... And they're basing it off the original series, which was Lauren Green and Dirk Benedict. I don't know. We'll see. I'll give it a chance because it's Battlestar and I'm a fan, but... We told you last week, I believe it was last week, that Tom Cruise was... Universal had got him for the Mummy movie. Well, they've made another big announcement. Johnny Depp will be your Invisible Man for Universal's shared monster movie universe movies. Next thing here, looks like Charlize Theron is, they're trying to get her for the villain for Fast 8. Disney's CEO Bob Iger has confirmed that the Han Solo movie, May 2018 release. Speaking of Star Wars, British workplace safety authorities are prosecuting the production company behind The Force Awakens over the 2014 incident that broke Harrison Ford's leg, where the Millennium Falcon tried to eat him. Britain's Health and Safety Executive announced Thursday that it was prosecuting Foodles Production over 4 alleged breaches of health and safety law. So, I'm sure they'll have plenty of money to cover whatever fine that comes out of this. Danny McBride, probably best known as from Eastbound and Down, is going to be joining Ridley Scott's Alien Covenant movie. I guess you gotta have a funny guy in there somehow for the comic relief. So Kenny fucking Powers will do it. At the Berlin Film Festival, Meryl Streep was asked about diversity in film. This whole Oscar so white, NBA so black, all that good stuff. And she came out and said that basically we are all African. And social media went insane. So you can look it up, but it's, it makes no sense. She doesn't know what she's talking about. I think she's just trying to cover her own ass because she's on the jury board of the Berlin Film Festival and it's all white people. So just trying to cover her own ass. MGM is going to be making a NASCAR movie. They have tapped Empire co-executive producer Robert Munich to write an untitled movie set in the racing community. I was a big fan of Days of Thunder back in the day, the Tom Cruise movie, so maybe we'll get, I don't want to say a reboot, because it probably won't be, but an updated movie in that vein, maybe? Paramount has announced the dates for the next Transformers trilogy, with movies 5, 6, and 7 will come out in 2017, 18, and 19. So for the next 3 years, after we get through this year, for the next 3 years, we are going to hit a Transformers movie each year. And there's also word that possibly one of them or a fourth movie will be a Bumblebee solo spinoff movie. Yay. Jet Li has apparently dropped out of the latest Triple X movie with Vin Diesel, but Donnie Yen has taken his place, so 1A, 1B. It's a good swap out. The last thing, nobody was really sure for movie news this week. Nobody was really sure who Jenna Malone was playing in Batman v Superman. It has been confirmed through a leak that she will be playing Barbara Gordon Batgirl. So it looks like we're going to get Batgirl in Batman Superman. So, and it will be played by Jenna Malone. So, okay. We'll see. I'll go see it, I'm sure. Comic book news this week. Warner Brothers Consumer Products and DC Entertainment have announced more about this DC Superhero Girls line. This is the stuff that's targeted for girls if you have the kids age 6 to 12, 13 in that range. They're going to get a TV special. New merchandise is going to come out. It will all come out in Target stores next month. It'll be include apparel, accessories, toys based on such characters as Supergirl, Wonder Woman, and Batgirl. That same month, Mattel will release a DC Superhero Girls app, which will have animated shorts and online games. Mattel will also offer a number of industry firsts. The first ever 6-inch action figures designed for girls, which apparently isn't sexist. The first 12-inch action doll line, and the first ever role-play toys aimed at a female market as part of the contribution to the line. So, trying to get the young kids and especially the girls involved in comic books, which is never a bad thing, so that's good. Next comic book news story, Van Jensen, who's been the writer on Flash for at least the last 3 or 4 years, revealed in tweets that he is leaving The Flash and DC entirely and is going to, quote, focus on my own stories. So I don't know if this is all tied into the DC Rebirth event that they have coming up, but it seems like a lot of writers are getting dropped or are quitting, and people are getting moved around, so I think it is tied into that, but don't know for sure. A Marvel crossover event that is coming starting in May will be Apocalypse Wars, and the rest of Marvel's heroes are getting in on the action. They're getting new variant covers. 23 comics will get a variant featuring the title character reimagined as though they were from Age of Apocalypse or one of Apocalypse's horsemen. So far, I think I've seen the Spider-Man one is the only one I've seen, and it looks really cool. So we can check those out starting in May, I believe. Last thing for comic book news, and this is a big one, and I wish that Short was here for this. Batman number 50 that's coming out, it looks like a iconic character will die. Yes, it's comic books. People die all the time. But I think if this character dies, that they're probably not going to be bringing him back. And I know you're thinking Batman, who's an iconic character in Batman that they could kill off. It looks like it's going to be Alfred. So they could kill off his final father figure, you know, butler, manservant. So I guess Batman 50 is going to be a really big issue everybody should probably go pick up. moving on to pro wrestling news this week. Of course, the big story was Monday they announced Daniel Bryan retirement. It sucks as a fan of his watching him work in the ring, but watching the retirement speech was fantastic. I'm glad they let him talk as much as he wanted and say whatever he wanted. It wasn't, to me, it wasn't like when Edge retired and it was such a shock. The fact that they put a tweet out 3 or 4 hours before the show kind of broke it to everybody, so it wasn't as big of a shock, even though there were rumors for a couple weeks. But as a greedy wrestling fan, yeah, I would have loved one more match, but as a human being, I'm glad that he'll get to go, you know, have his life, have his little organic farm, start his little organic family, and just be a decent human being. I've never seen or read or heard anything about him being an ass or a dick outside of the ring. So it seems like he's just a good guy, and I'm glad he got out before a Benoit type situation would have happened. I'm sure that that's why WWE would not allow him to continue to wrestle, as they were scared of another Benoit situation. But it does suck, but I don't think you'll never have another guy as organically over with the crowd. Well, I take that back. Maybe Sami Zayn. But I think he would be the last one that would be, that the crowd would get behind like that so much without the machine pushing him. So, our next wrestling story. There's an incident at the WXW event in Miami over the weekend. Gabby Castrovinci? Hey, a name I almost got right. She was on Tough Enough, and apparently she now works for TNA as Raquel. She wrestled a couple local workers, Raquel and Regina, in a triple threat match to determine the number one contender for the WXW women's title. And according to sources, Raquel and Regina just basically beat the holy shit out of this girl, to the point where Castrovinci has a broken jaw. She was required to get her tooth replaced. TMZ picked up on the story and reported it, and some wrestlers like cheerleader Melissa took to Twitter saying they get hurt all the time, but they don't run to the media and TMZ to try and get sympathy. Well, the fact is the Raquel girl, the Tough Enough girl, didn't go to TMZ. TMZ just picked up the story and interviewed her. But yeah, I've seen a couple clips of it, and it's an assault. It's a mugging. I know sometimes I've seen that sometimes people get worked over to try and break them in, but this looked like it was beyond that, so hopefully she gets better since she has an on-TV role right now with TNA. Another story that makes no sense to me this week is the Titus O'Neil situation. Titus O'Neil was suspended from WWE for unprofessional conduct on Tuesday. This is after he playfully grabbed Vince McMahon's arm while he was leaving after the Bryan retirement ceremony, or segment. Titus, when he grabbed Vince's arm, he told him ladies first, and he wanted, you know, Stephanie to go ahead and leave first. And Vince could be smiling on stage as the cameras was going off, and it looked playful, and it looked, you know, goofing around. Everybody was having a good time, and well, apparently, somebody backstage, whether Vince or somebody, lost their shit about this. The footage has been edited out on the YouTube, on their official YouTube, and from the network. At first, he was suspended for 90 days, which even I took to Twitter to be like, this makes no sense. One, any suspension, and two, 90 days, which is the same amount as a first and second strike wellness violation combined. But later, WWE knocked it down to 60 days. So a two-strike wellness violation. One of Titus's best friends is Batista. And Batista was asked about it on Twitter and responded that he told Titus that he should immediately ask for his release. Apparently, Titus has apologized to Vince and to everybody, apparently, that was mad about this dumbass situation. Good idea. Let's suspend one of your top charitable guys, you know, your good dad award winner. And do it during Black History Month. Yeah, that's real smart. Another great WWE for just grabbing his arm. Just stupid shit. And speaking of another stupid fucking story, Ring of Honor referee and ring crew worker Kevin Keenan was released from Ring of Honor after allegedly making advances at a female member of the roster. He later did come out and admit that he did smack Mandy Leon on the ass, and also said that part of his firing was due to the fact that Delirious is sleeping with her. So it looks like apparently they were at a bar and he had either gotten drunk or something and made an advance and smacked her on the ass. And he was reprimanded and he was fired, like he should have been. If not, charges filed. You can't do that shit. But for him to come out and be like, "Oh, the reason I was fired is because Delirious is sleeping with her, and he's 37, she's 23, and he's the teacher," and all this shit, trying to cover up for the fact that, no, you fucked up, you should have been fired. Quit bringing other people's personal business out to cover your own, or to try to take away from the fact of what you did. Next thing for wrestling news, Davey Richards, we told you last week that he did hurt his knee, TNA on tour in the United Kingdom. Exact details have not been revealed, but it looks like he will be out for a significant length of time with an ACL injury. It's not saying if he tore it all the way or it's a partial tear. The Wolves had recently signed a guaranteed deal with TNA, which is good as far as he will continue to get paid even though he's hurt. So, I mean, that sucks that he's hurt, but it's good that he will at least get his money. Kurt Angle, you remember him. He will be inducted into the Arnold Sports Hall of Fame this year in Columbus during the Arnold Sports Expo. And he will also wrestle against Rey Mysterio on a March 20th IPA preview for a promotion called Your Fight. You Are Fight. They are putting on a bunch of different things on this one card. They're putting... you're going to have Ken Shamrock fight Dan Severn in an MMA fight. This is including the Kurt Angle Rey Mysterio wrestling match. Michael Bisping and Chael Sonnen will have a grappling match. And Roy Jones Jr. will also box on the show, but he's going to box against a fan. So this just sounds like a train wreck waiting to happen. I imagine that Kurt versus Mysterio will probably be good until somebody gets injured, but I don't know, wait and see on that. Some of that sounds a little sketchy. Bret Hart announced that his surgery for prostate cancer was successful. I believe he did have his prostate removed. And that he is starting the long road to recovery. Best wishes to Bret Hart. Last night, was it last night? I saw it last night. It might not have been... I think it was last night. Stardust. You know, the poor thing that happened to Cody Rhodes. He crashed. Stephen Amell was having a panel at Dallas Comic Con for his Arrow show, and Stardust crashed it. He was bringing him his Slammy Award that he won and all this, and he threw like a glass of water in Amell's face, and it looks like they're setting up maybe a singles match for SummerSlam or WrestleMania. Makes sense. They usually have some type of celebrity gimmick at WrestleMania. I don't know how that would coincide with Arrow filming or insurance for Arrow, but I'm sure they can work something out. If not at Mania, it probably would be SummerSlam. Last few things for wrestling news this week. It appears that Mike Knox has re-signed with WWE and will be headed to NXT. I think this is going to be the same way they're using Rhino to get some of the younger guys' experience. The head of Chikara, Mike Quackenbush, was a guest trainer at the WWE Performance Center this last week. A lot of people took to Twitter thanking him for the training and, I guess, like seminar and all that he did down there for him this week. And he came out and thanked WWE for the opportunity and all this and said it was a validation. So, I mean, if you're going to learn wrestling holds, Quack's a hell of a wrestler to learn from. So, last thing for wrestling news, and I just saw this morning and it sucks. Blackjack Mulligan, Hall of Famer and grandfather of Bray Wyatt and Bo Dallas, has passed away at the age of 73. We told you last week that he was sick, and that's why Bray and Bo missed Raw. So, Yeah, he went ahead and passed away. He had had health issues for quite a while. Since Vince is not here, I don't really have anything for video games except the following. Nika, the toy company. Well, their director of product development, Randy Falk, accidentally let it slip that Sony is making a new Crash Bandicoot game and they are excited to get the toy license. So, oops. Sony's been teasing this for about the last 2 years, so it's finally been oops confirmed, so we're getting a new Crash Bandicoot game. That's all I got for video games this week, sorry. Sports news, just moving right along, trying to get through this as fast as I can. Kenya and some American athletes are saying that they are thinking of skipping the Olympics entirely due to the Zika virus. The International Olympic Committee has said that no games will be postponed or canceled due to the virus, though. Personally, if I was an Olympic athlete and a mosquito in fucking Brazil could give me some weird genetic mutation disease, I don't think I would go. Sorry about that. I had to get a drink. Obviously, the Broncos won the Super Bowl. Yay. And Cam Newton threw a fit like a little petulant child. But now a story has come out. Imagine this. Peyton won. He's probably going to retire. But let's attack him. Let's get him one more time before it leaves. One of the Black Lives Matter activists wrote or was sent court documents from something of like 13 or 15 years ago about an alleged sexual assault while Manning was at the University of Tennessee. So he just puts it out there that, oh, Manning did this. And so whether he did or not, 13, 15 years ago, it probably would have been prosecuted. They're saying there was a cover-up, this, that, and the other. Basically, a white guy beat your black superhero, and you have to find some way to attack him before he retires. So good on you. BJ Penn has announced he will return to fighting, and it will be at UFC 197, not 196. Home Depot co-founder and Atlanta Falcons owner Arthur Blank has revealed that he has been diagnosed with prostate cancer, but vows to fight and beat it. We told you a couple weeks ago about Blake Griffin from the Clippers punching an equipment guy for some stupid shit at a restaurant. The Clippers will dock the star's pay for an additional game. He's been suspended 4 games without pay, and he's getting fined for another game because he broke his shooting hand punching this guy. All in all, Griffin will lose $859,442 from his season salary. But considering he makes like $19 million, that's a fucking drop in the bucket. A team spokesman said that the suspension will begin when Griffin is healthy, cleared, and active to play. So, whatever. CM Punk, you remember him kind of from wrestling. He underwent back surgery on Wednesday, and his UFC debut is delayed. I figure I'll find a decent woman by the time he ever steps foot in an octagon to fight. But apparently, rumor has come out, and Chris Cyborg, the fighter, put this online, that Punk has had 16 unofficial training fights. These aren't sparring. These are actual fights that they have at the gym. Apparently, he lost 15 out of the 16 fights. So, not looking real good. A couple last things here for sports this week. Mets right-handed pitcher Jerry Mahina, permanently suspended by Major League Baseball after testing positive for boldenone, his third performance-enhancing substance violation. So, sorry, Mets fans. Last thing, another fucking sad thing. MMA legend Kevin Randleman, the Monster, passed away at age 44. I don't know cause of death. I did not see cause of death or anything like that, but that sucks, and it makes me kind of wonder if we're going to start getting to a point where MMA athletes are going to start dying prematurely like professional wrestlers have been dying prematurely. I hope not, but if you want to see Kevin Randleman's stuff, look on YouTube, obviously. His fight against Fedor was incredible. A lot of his stuff for Pride, and he was UFC champion, early UFC, around the Mark Coleman era. So, check it out. Sad news that Kevin Randleman passed away. Music news this week, moving on. Beyonce has come under fire for her halftime show at the Super Bowl, where she had dancers dressed up like Black Panthers. People are now calling for boycotts of Beyonce, boycotts of this and that, because just stoking the racial fires. Could have used it as a come-together moment, but instead you just, you know, drive the wedge further. Good job. It's not like you don't give money to Black Lives Matter anyway, Beyonce. Let's move on to better music news. A life-size statue of Lemmy will be unveiled in May at the Rainbow Bar in Los Angeles. Apparently, the artist donated his time and abilities and all this, and they did. There was a Kickstarter for materials, and they got all their materials done, and if you gave to the Kickstarter, you get put on this plaque that's going to be behind the statue at the Rainbow of Lemmy. So that's very cool. Last thing for music news. I told you I didn't have a lot this week. It looks like No Doubt, at least the guys in the band, are forming a new supergroup with AFI singer Davey Havok. The band does not have a name or a record label yet, but apparently they have already completed an album. So, one way or another, this will be coming out. Apparently they just got tired of waiting on Gwen Stefani's ass. Alright, so take a little break here and give you your song of the week this week. And I was trying to figure out, I was like, I'm not a big fan of Valentine's Day. We won't get into reasons, but I'm not. So I was like, I want to come up with a song that really drives home my point of Valentine's Day. So I'm not going to tell you what it is. Maybe it'll put a smile on your face. Maybe a little tear in your eye. Or maybe you'll just laugh like an idiot. Here you go.
One for your dad. Yeah, she did. this.
Hey, it's Mike from the Midnight Jury. Join myself and my co-hosts, Adam, Cal, and Sydney, as we bring to you the best in 80s and 90s pop culture, pro wrestling, and horror movies. You can join in the conversation on Facebook and Twitter, and we are available at our home at WLWstudios.com, along with the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio. Forget about Blu-ray, forget about iPhones, and forget about flat-screen TVs, and travel back with us to the last old-school generation when it was all about Walkmans, arcades, and malls. Once again, that's The Midnight Jury, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and our home at WLWstudios.com.
Hey, you. Yeah, you over there. If you're into professional wrestling, heavy metal music, and getting hammered, Neckbreaker Podcast was designed just for you.
Wrestling headlines, metal panels, and guest interviews with past alumni, including Suffocation, Eric Bischoff, Hammerfall, Chris Jericho, and many more.
Grab a 30 rack and listen to Neckbreaker on iTunes, The Shining Wizards Network, Stitcher Radio, The Blast Syndicate, or just grab the episodes right now from neckbreaker.net. Cheers and beers.
What?
From the current to the way back, join the Impact player Mr. Phil Rea and Dave Mega Powers as we host the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast live every Friday evening at 9 p.m. on RantEMRadio.com. You can find all of our episodes on TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com, Audio Boom, Stitcher, iTunes, and on the TuneIn app. Just search Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
If you're looking for hot, wet, sizzling wrestling talk, you need to listen to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Sport hot studs from New Jersey, guaranteed to satisfy your cardinal wrestling desires. Listen to them on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, and the Shining Wizards Network. Visit them at shiningwizards.com. It's wrestling talk. Ooh, and talk about wrestling.
And we're back. Hopefully you laughed. All right, I'm going to do my top 10 of fan casting since I'm the only one here. Our top 10 list this week, celebrities we wanted to be our Valentine. I'm going to run through everything real quick so I can get this over with. I hate solo shows, if you can't tell. My number 10, Hayley Williams, the singer from Paramore. Number 9, Elizabeth Henstridge, plays Simmons from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Number 9, Danielle Panabaker from Flash. Number 7, Tori Wilson, because I had to throw a wrestler on here. Number 6, Jamie Alexander. Number 5, Alice Eve. Number 4, Katie Lotz, who plays White Canary on Legends of Tomorrow. Number 3, Missy Peregrine. Number 2, Agent Carter's Haley Atwell. And number 1, Sophia Bush from Chicago PD and all that good stuff. Let's see, our fan casting this week, we did comic book couples. Or let me rephrase, I did comic book couples. Reed Richards and Sue Storm, Big Barda and Mr. Miracle, Nightwing and Oracle, Cyclops and Emma Frost, Colossus and Kitty Pryde, Black Panther and Storm, Black Bolt and Medusa, Captain America and Agent 13 or Sharon Carter, Hawkman and Hawk Girl, and Ant-Man and Wasp. Run through them here for you. For Reed Richards and Susan Storm, I tried to either put people that either look the part or I think would play well together. So that's kind of what I was doing for casting this week. Reed Richards, I went with Lee Pace, Ronan from Guardians of the Galaxy. And Sue Storm, I went with Malin Ackerman, who played Silk Spectre in Watchmen. Big Barda and Mr. Miracle, Jamie Alexander from Blindspot and Sif from Thor. She's Big Barda. Clive Standen, who plays Rollo on Vikings, is the one I chose to play Mr. Miracle. Nightwing and Oracle. Scott Eastwood for Nightwing and Anna Kendrick for Oracle. I think they would work well together. Cyclops and Emma Frost. Jake Gyllenhaal and Alice Eve. Colossus and Kitty Pryde. For Colossus, I went with Liev Schreiber. And Kitty Pryde, Allison Brie from Community. Black Panther and Storm. This is Idris Elba and Rosario Dawson, because the roles are made for them. Black Bolt and Medusa. For Black Bolt, I went with Timothy Olyphant from Justified. And Medusa, Christina Hendricks, because I want to see her in a superhero movie. Captain America and Sharon Carter, Agent 13. Tom Hopper from Black Sails to play an older Captain America. And Emily Blunt from... It was called Live, Die, Repeat. It was the Tom Cruise Day After Tomorrow movie. And she's been in a ton of other stuff, but have her as Sharon Carter, who is Agent Carter's, or Peggy Carter's daughter. Hawkman and Hawkgirl. Mads Mikkelsen from Hannibal is my Hawkman, and Keira Knightley for Hawkgirl. Ant-Man and Wasp. This one probably the most fun. Daniel Radcliffe from Harry Potter as Ant-Man, and Mackenzie Davis from Halt and Catch Fire as Wasp. I think they would work really well together in the same type of Hawkman and Hawkgirl situation. Like I said, I really suck at solo shows, so thank you for listening. For those that send in internet questions, I'm going to hold them off until next week, until everybody is here. So that's going to be it for this week's show. Thank you all for listening so much. Hope you have a good Valentine's Day. Whatever. We have an email, inconclusivebreakdown@gmail.com. Send in your questions, your comments, your suggestions, your hate mail for Vince when he's here. Follow us on Facebook, Official Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast. We have a fan page and a group. If you want to join the group, that's where I post most of the stuff. Go ahead and join. I'll be glad to add you to the group. We are on Twitter, @inconclusivepod. Follow me, @cyborgsumo. Follow Vince, @fetalbliss. And I think that is it for the show. Oh, please rate and review on iTunes or Stitcher if you don't mind, but preferably 5 stars. It would help out the show. Speaking of helping out the show, thank you to everybody that has been spreading the word on the show, trying to get your friends to listen. It means the world to us, trying to get the show bigger and better. And we can do it with your help. So thank you all very much. And I think that's going to be it for this week's show, abbreviated show. Have a good Valentine's Day, everybody, as the snow starts to fall here in Indianapolis. We will talk to everybody next week.